Hey, everyone. We want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad, all-over print button-downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They, of course, have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts, they do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello there, and welcome to Think the Maker, a podcast about heroes, princesses, scoundrels, hokey religions, ancient weapons, and all things Star Wars. I am Adam Russell.
Hey guys, I'm Ryan Key.
Hey, I'm Nick Gambarian.
Hey, it's Mike Forrester, who didn't forget to unmute his mic because we are real podcasters.
I was looking at a thing related to our conversation that made us 10 minutes late, and I forgot to unmute. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Captain, I was at a family barbecue.
Allegedly.
Hey, has anything happened recently in Star Wars that's been very exciting?
Two episodes of The Bad Batch. I'll call that exciting.
Wow.
Yeah, we...
I loved that.
I got to hang out with some old homies today, and it was a good time.
It was a great time. We have a lot to talk about because, like I said, we have two episodes that we're covering. We are mid-season, and they gave us a doubleheader. One story in two episodes. It's weird to me. I don't know. Maybe it's not weird. Maybe it makes more sense to lay it out like this. But this is like clearly just one story that's too long for two episodes. So they put it together.
Right.
And there are things that we kind of inferred about the schedule and it ending around May 4th. But why not just call it like a mid-season special feature or something and make it 40 minutes long?
The only thing I could think of is if they literally have an episode number quota.
And that's what I think. I think it's a contractual thing, and they're bound to the length of episode and all that under contract. And so you just make one long episode and break it up. And it's like when they do the 3-episode premiere or anything like that, it's allows them to do that story arc. But I guess you think that's something they would negotiate to say, well, we know that episodes 6 and 7 are going to be the same story. So can we put it in the contract that those are allowed to come out the same week? Mm. Or do you think it's like a loophole where they sign all the paperwork and they're like, well, watch us make an hour-long episode.
Nice.
Yeah. Even though it's not an hour-long episode, you know? Yeah. I wonder which one it is.
Yeah. It's like the thing with... What's the thing with albums or with publishing? Do you guys remember this from back in the... This is something I learned like 20 years ago with, you know, like a double album versus a single album and like how to maximize. And you can only... You know, you only get paid for 10 songs kind of thing or something.
That sounds right.
Something like that.
I think the 10 songs is why a lot of albums are just 10 songs, because it's everything else after that is just free for them,
right?
I guess.
Yeah. Playing the game. Either way, we loved it. We loved the game that they played this week because we got, not to say that last week was light, but it was lighter. Yeah. You know, we got a lot of action in this one, a lot of great character stuff, great callbacks to stuff in previous seasons and all the way back to the Clone Wars. And overall, I feel like it moved the story forward as much as like the past 2 or 3 or 4 episodes altogether. Mike, what was your first impression?
Once again, proving this is Crosshair's season, you know?
Yeah.
I think given everything that we know about the Bad Batch as like Hunter, I mean, if you're a fan of Hunter, this is not the season for you. This is a rough one for you, right? But to see Crosshair, his character really start to develop in... not only former soldier, not only former Clone Force 99, but now also as kind of Omega's other Overwatcher, right? And there's a couple little details and moments that we'll talk about, but this was a great, this was just more development for him that shows that this truly is his season, which makes me obviously terrified for the end of this season. And I think we all know what that means. But,
nah, but you know, let's remain hopeful, even if that's completely stupid.
Yeah.
Nick, how about you? What were your vibes on this episode?
I, for some reason, because it was a double episode, I thought it was going to be heavier than it was, but I still think it was very good and heavy in its own way. And I just see it more so as putting the clone chess pieces in place, because it seemed like every clone, like the team that is currently being put together and evolving, that was almost the purpose of these two episodes here.
Right.
I thought there would be like a mid-season, like real actual, like holy shit moment, which there wasn't, but I liked it. It was good.
So there, that reveal of Wolf was the supposed to be the get you over there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess I'm thinking more like, oh, that's what Palpatine's doing. You know, like I want like our confirmation. Like I wanted something like that, you know. But it was great.
Right.
Ryan, feel free to give your overall vibes on the episode, but I want to ask you at the top, have you been noticing in these past two episodes, and I feel like maybe once or twice in so far this season, but definitely today, there's a new cue that the Kyners are doing that is so strongly hinting at either, it's either the Kylo Ren theme or the First Order theme. Mm. Are you hearing that?
There's definitely some new sort of single note synth piece that is very ominous and dark and
just a pad.
Happen. Yes. They have, I did notice.
It's like those two main notes, the top notes at the...
The score is unreal. Like I episodes like these where, you know, confirmed, I think, from here out that we're not doing any side quest type adventure episodes. It seems
doesn't
like...
seem likely.
That's not going to happen. So we are getting, we're getting that like final four Clone Wars episodes type score every single week because they are, to your point, Nick, the heaviness, right? Like I was sort of expecting someone to get murder, death, killed this week as well. And it didn't happen, but the score is heavy all the time, this whole season. And I think we've covered enough of their music now in these shows to know that they really like choose these certain arcs where they're going to get away from the more sort of classic, you know, classical Star Wars orchestral stuff that they do, which is so wild about the Kyners, how they're able to do both things. It's
agreed.
It's very Hans Zimmer-esque, you know, in that they can do this classical stuff and then also branch out into these wild new electronic sounds and things. But this year, this season of The Bad Batch, to me, has maintained the more ominous electronic. I've referenced this all the time when I talk about this on the show, but the Blade Runner kind of vibe.
100%.
You know, which is just this like haunting ambient tone to it all. Even in the action scenes, you get the orchestral, the horns and stuff, but then there'll be these moments where it all comes back down and someone's like sneaking around behind and you get this super nasty, distorted synth sound to, you know, hammer home this ominous feeling of like, you know, the ghost who I know you, we have a theory of who that is. I think we're going to talk about on the show tonight.
Absolutely.
But, you know, sneaking around behind, there's all, it doesn't matter. It'll go from this one high place back down to this really ominous place. The score is incredible. And I did notice that, Adam. But I don't know that I put it together, the Kylo Ren, but I noticed a new, you know, there was something new that was being used in these two episodes. But my reaction to the double episode, I agree with Nick. I was kind of hoping for
a bigger gasp.
A really big jaw drop moment. But that said, I got so many cool original trilogy and Rogue One vibes from this with like crashed, burning down ships. And, you know, I'm a Dune fanboy, like the Sardaukar vibes coming down from the ships and just, the, you know, this is dark, dude. It's so, the Bad Batch is going dark right now. And
there was a casual attempt at drowning.
Yeah.
That's pretty dark.
I was going to say that you guys might have been like, nah, that's not it. But I did for a moment, for a brief moment, think this is it.
Yeah.
Right, same. You know? Oh, for Crosshair, for sure.
Yeah.
We're going to start just discarding characters. We're getting to the end now and we're going to shock people and we're going to, you know, I thought that drowning might have actually happen. And I have one quick sort of just funny thing I thought. Really convenient for everyone in these episodes that where those rushing Niagara Falls level currents were flowing, that it was only like ankle deep and you were able to just sort of like walk out of it. That really worked out well for everyone.
Same as Wakanda. Yeah.
Just deep enough dramatic. To drown Crosshair, but not deep enough to swim in. Perfect.
Right.
Perfect.
Yeah. Right. That's why they built it that way.
But I enjoyed the classic sort of Clone Wars battle nature of these episodes.
Yeah.
You know, good guys versus bad guys. No monsters. Just
Batcher.
Clones fighting.
Just emotional monsters.
Yeah, well, yeah. Batcher. Good old Batcher. But just clones fighting clones and where we're leading to, I think you brought up like, you know, the amassing sort of army of clones that we've been talking about, the four of us have been talking about for a long time, like wanting this clone uprising to be a part of this story.
Right.
And I definitely think that the group of clones that Rex had with him in these episodes is not by any means scratch the surface of how many allies he has, you know, recruited, like mm-hmm. whatever force they have in some central location to fight this fight. This was just a crew, you know, a dispatching of a unit to go do a mission.
Right. It's the beginning, tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. And there's a lot of loss. I loved how they leaned into the Clone Wars and the loss that they've all experienced and mm-hmm. how hurt they are to still be going through that and to be watching their brothers fall in battle. They thought when the war ended that would end, and it clearly has not. There was a lot of talk about that in these episodes, like about loss. You know, we lost on both sides. You know, we lost so many men here today.
Right.
I love that. I love the war element of this that's coming in so strong right now.
Well, let's get into Stolen Plans, because like I said, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Nick, since you're the right dude, you're the rightful heir. The other week when I wasn't here, you just crushed Stolen Plans. So I said to myself,
I got the job.
You really did.
Nick's the dude. Nick's the new dude.
You hired.
We're going to switch some things up and try to kind of like spread it out. Because I feel like I just talk too much sometimes.
Oh, okay.
I hope it's terrible. I hope I do terrible.
That's me, dude.
This is an intervention.
I just did. That's me. I can see you. I can see you being like, will you please shut up?
We're 12 minutes in and we haven't even talked about the episode yet.
And then I'll say like one thing and you'll be like, oh, that is interesting, actually. And then you'll go back to like, okay, no, all right, please, it's time to move on.
Let's talk about this for 24 minutes.
So I'm going to lead by example and let someone else talk. Hey everyone, we want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad all over print button downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They of course have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts, they do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
What have you done with those plans?
Infiltration, episode 6 of The Bad Batch, debuted today, March 13th, 2024, on Disney Plus. The Disney Plus description: The Bad Batch reunites with an ally in need. Runtime was 27 minutes, directed by a lot of familiar names here. Stuart Lee, written by Brad Rao, who's also the executive producer. And then the next episode, episode 7, Extraction. The Disney Plus description on that one: as enemies close in, the Batch must evacuate a stronghold. Runtime on that one was 24 minutes, directed by Saul Ruiz, written by Jennifer Corbett and Matt Michnovich. And then we get into the starring roles. Jennifer Hale as Ryo Chuchi. She also played Ayla Secura in The Clone Wars and a bunch of other Star Wars voices. Danny Jacobs returns as Senator Singh. Fun little fact here. There are two Danny Jacobs on IMDb that have worked on Star Wars. One has done voices in Lego Star Wars, and the other played a lab tech in Mandalorian Season 3. And a fun fact for Adam here.
Hello there. He's also from St. Louis, and he's like 2 years younger than me. So I don't know. I feel like...
You still got a chance.
There has to be some overlap. Maybe I can meet a Star War in the future. We'll see.
You can maybe be in a Star War.
Yeah.
Never too late.
See how it shakes out.
Continuing with the starring roles, we have Sian Clifford as the Senator Singh's droid, GS-8. She played Claire in Fleabag, starring Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Great show.
Sian Clifford. Yeah, I actually haven't seen it yet.
Oh. Dude, it's incredible.
But she plays Phoebe Waller-Bridge's character's sister. I loved this one because I noticed it right away. David W. Collins as a stormtrooper. I feel like it was like a prototypical, like everyone has the clone accent. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden there's just one TK who has the most prototypical TK sounding voice. And yeah. It was David Collins.
Hey guys, me too. Me too. I'm a trooper too.
It was so great. And then we get into everything that Dee Bradley Baker did. Every single clone. Has he ever done more voices than this one episode?
There were so many times in these episodes where there was like a radio transmission going back and forth, you know, like the asset is moving. And I'm like, he's doing all of that. Yeah. It's crazy. How do you organize? Like, imagine the call sheet for that. Yeah. Like, it's wild. What a talent.
Didn't Ashley say he just does it right off the top of his head? He doesn't alternate takes. It's just, he just goes. Mm-hmm.
There was something recently on like the Star Wars YouTube channel where he and Michelle Ang were reading. Maybe they weren't reading a script, but they just had a bunch of toys and they were doing it. And he was just going back and forth through the Bad Batch, like no stopping, no nothing. He was just rifling them off. It was kind of very impressive.
Hit him with the list. It's a long one.
Yes. Okay. So Rex's clones, a few of them first seen in the Bad Batch Season 2, Episode 14, The Tipping Point. We got Hauser with the good hair. We have Fireball, who you might recognize with green camo, sort of armor, messy helmet face paint. And then we have Nemec, who that has a wavy greenish yellow lines across his helmet. We have Greer, who has green armor accents, who I only really recognize from Hasbro Black series. Mm. Was he a Kashyyyk trooper?
No, you're thinking of Gree.
Gree. Okay. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Okay. I take it back. And then Samson, who had purple armor accents. So that's a Mace Windu battalion.
That's right.
Yeah. Wow.
More to come.
Yes. Okay. And then we have Imperial Clones, The Return of Wolf, which we mentioned earlier was kind of the big reveal of this two-episode arc. We had Scorch, who's a clone commando who we recognize from either season one or two or both of The Bad Batch. And Hilo, another clone commando. And then the Clone X Troopers, which they are creepy and awesome. And can't wait to learn more about them.
Mysterious. Theories abound.
So with the Bad Batch, that is 14 clones, including Rex, for this episode.
And he's just reading the script down the list in one take.
Does he make 14 times more money than everybody else? Because he should.
That's great.
I hope so.
Someone at Disney right now is like, guys, this is the best investment we've ever made.
For real. Oh, shout out to that dude. Maybe one day he'll be on the podcast. Let's find out. Let's make it happen. Quick little overview. Like we kind of mentioned before, Rex is assembling the clones. Their main mission right now, this little battalion, if you want to call it that, is to infiltrate Tantus. They're trying to free other clones. It's time. It's happening. Even though all but two of them died in this, like, it's happening. The clone uprising is upon us, and we can talk later about the bingo cards and whether or not we get a point for this one. But it's clear that it is happening. So I think we get the point now. So they got this clone base camp on the planet Teth. We've seen that a few times in the Clone Wars. First, all the way back in 2008 in the Clone Wars movie, Rex Hauser and the crew are escorting former Separatist Senator Avi Singh from Raxus to a secret meeting with Senator Ryo Chuchi on her home planet of Pantora. They're going to discuss this alliance against the Empire. It's very early days, but they're planting the seeds for that as well. The CX troopers sent to assassinate Senator Singh. Omega's also on the hit list. What is going on there specifically, do you guys think? Like, with trying to assassinate the senator, I know there was mention, Ryochuchi says the emperor's concerned about systems opposing him, uniting, all that kind of stuff, but it's really early still. This is like pre-rebellion. There's like not a name for it. There's no proper organization. She even says in this episode, there's no leadership. Do you think this is just like an appetizer and we're not meant to read much more into it, you know, that they're just kind of laying the groundwork, or do you guys have any thoughts?
You mean as far as them wanting to off Senator Singh?
Yeah.
The vibe I was picking up on was that they were already separatists and wanted their freedom. So, like, in the past, like, during the Clone Wars.
So he's a likely...
I think so, yeah. Yeah. That's the vibe I was getting.
That makes sense. So they end up... Rex and his crew end up stunning one of the CX troopers who's there to do the assassination. They capture him. They take him back to their base on Teth. Then Hauser and Rex call in the Batch to help. They all meet up there. There's, of course, immediate tension between Hauser and Crosshair because of what happened on Ryloth in the past. We saw that all go down when we met Hauser, right? Yeah, that was the very beginning of that. And then there's a discussion. This was interesting. There's a discussion with Omega about what happened on Tantus, and she's kind of explaining it to the other clones, experiments with Nala Se, M-Count, and they're like, yeah, I think I've heard of that, but I don't know. And
heard it mentioned before, I think is what he said.
And only one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Rex or somebody says, what else can you tell us? And then they cut away.
It's because a couple of years earlier, they were calling them midichlorians. They changed the name to M-Count. Think about it. Phantom Menace was how many years before this? And they were calling, saying midichlorians.
Oh, that's why.
Rebranding. They didn't get the memo.
Yeah.
Right.
It did give me cool, tingly feelings just in general about the Jedi and Clone Wars and all, you know,
yeah.
The idea of it, I've heard it before.
Right.
Just takes you to a place like, God, these used to be the allies of the Jedi. And like, that's really, sometimes you forget that's the core of this story when you're watching something sick like the Bad Batch. But that brings you back to what it really is all about, you know.
But it also makes you realize too that the clones, although they fought alongside the Jedi, there were still a lot of things that the Jedi were like, this is for us to know. This is our principle, right? This is
right.
The clones are an army that are helping us win, but they're, you know, for other troopers, it's like, my focus is on fighting. I don't need to know about your religion. I don't need to know about your philosophy. If I ask, maybe, but you know, you it's hard to imagine Anakin Skywalker sitting down with them and being, now listen, where a Jedi gets his powers might actually be from this thing's called the midichlorians.
Yeah, dude, the grunts just hokey religions, man. That's where that comes from, yeah.
100%, right? We have big blasters. So it's interesting to hear all of them kind of be so confused as to what something as simple as us, for us the viewers, knowing exactly what that means. It's pretty amazing. But this moment was really cool to see them all kind of trying to figure it out again, as if they're coming up with their own battle plan. It's amazing.
Dramatic irony. Finally, somebody reminded me, because I didn't take the time to go back and look, the literary or, you know, screenwriting or anything idea, when you there's something that the reader or viewer knows that the characters don't.
Right.
Michael Balonis, thank you on Instagram for reminding me. It's one of those things where I'm like, oh yeah, that's it. I'm an idiot. I should have paid attention in school. Here I am. I'm a grown up. Dramatic irony. Nah. Great example of it. So we learned a little bit about these CX clone troopers finally when they're targeting Senator Singh.
They're creepy, man.
I love their armor.
It's like a little Black Panther vibe.
Yep. Yeah.
I was thinking Ant-Man too. I don't know if that's accurate, but I was getting Ant-Man.
I think it's that it's like so traditionally it's still moving towards the actual identifiers that, you know, we're so used to looking at the clone troopers with the Mandalorian style T-visor, right? Mm-hmm. And this is moving closer and closer into stormtrooper eyes that looks more like a skull, which is, I think, where they're going with all of the armor at this point.
Yeah.
They were kind of is it weird that I noticed in some shots it was pretty emo, like some like Pac-Sun skinny jeans vibes with that armor too?
Yeah, when he was held prisoner.
Sleek.
And it came up on the legs. I was like, yeah, who's this? Is this Paul Atreides with these legs? Who is this?
Are those 5'11s, bro? Those are nice.
So, like I said, we learn a little bit about them. The interesting part, and you know, in episode 6, before we got like the big information dump, when one of the clones from Rex's squad says it's one of those shadows we keep running into. I thought there was going to be something.
Oh, shadows. That's why I said ghosts earlier. I'm sorry. Yeah. I misspoke. Shadows. That's right. I shouldn't be on a podcast. Just don't give me a microphone.
This will be your last one, but we thank you for being here.
Thank you for your service.
Thank the maker.
Crosshair says, he talks about the secret imperial program headed by Hemlock. They tried to make him one. That wasn't like implicitly put it like in front of our eyes with him when they were recruiting him, right?
Previously, no.
Okay.
No.
They erased their identifying numbers. And he says something about like it didn't work on him. So like, is it some kind of like Clockwork Orange style, like prop open the eyelids kind of?
Yeah.
The maybe. Droogs.
Psychological torture treatment.
Could have something to do with his hand too.
Yeah, that's a great point. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we learn quite a bit about them. And then just briefly on the Hauser Crosshair conflict. Obviously, Hauser doesn't trust him, like we talked about. But then there's a great moment towards the end because, you know, this is one of like the, I don't know, four or five different like subplots in this whole thing is Hauser and Crosshair. There's a moment, it's after my favorite quote of the episode, which I'll say later, where Hauser says, you know, it's Crosshair talking to Omega, kind of getting her prepared for, you know, to get out of there. And Hauser says, I've seen how you are with the kid. You're different than you were on Ryloth. So what changed? And Crosshair says, loyalty meant something to me.
Ooh, reading the Crosshair voice.
You know I can't do that. It's your turn. You got it.
Oh, seriously?
Loyalty meant something to me. But the Empire, it didn't go both ways. I realized how disposable I was.
Get in my van.
Wow.
That's great.
Get hired.
Ooh.
Nick and Mike both getting hired tonight.
Let's
nice.
Go.
And then the big final fight with Crosshair and the CX clone. It's this awesome like sniper versus sniper kind of thing.
Right.
Ooh. Crosshair still having the hand tremors. He improvises. He makes it work.
Ooh, is there something in there though?
There's a little gem in there. More to come on that. CX says to Crosshair, you had your chance to be one of us. You chose the wrong side. That mirrors, you know, exactly what he said to the rest of the Bad Batch back in, I guess, season one, right? All the way back at the beginning.
Right.
Towards the end. So we're seeing everything come full circle. He almost drowns Crosshair, like we talked about before, in the, you know, the shin deep water. And there's a great metaphor there that Alex from Star Wars Explained pointed out.
I liked that. I thought that was a great point.
Yeah. It's like a baptism. Like he almost dies. It looks like he passes out for a second. So it's like he's reborn. Like this is finally this long progression to bring him back. And here he is rising from the dead in a way.
Praise be.
And like Crosshair has at this point of all between maybe like Hunter's smolder, Crosshair has a scowl, right? And that's always like, if you go back and watch all these moments, because of course I go back and I watch like old episodes or I watched old moments, and he's always just got that like, he's just naturally upset. He's pissed off about something, blah, blah, blah. And I felt like that was one of the first times where I actually saw him look scared, panicked, like almost like he came out of that water.
Underwater.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And when he comes back out, it's almost like he's like, I wasn't expecting to survive.
I think it started before that, in that fight. There was a moment where it sort of turned and you could just tell that he was bested. He was beaten.
Oh, and the knife almost gets him, and he
yeah,
like,
and then he gets like punched in the gut or something, and the noise, you know, the sounds, the noises that the sound design of the fight and the vocalizing that Dee was doing for Crosshair, it was, you never heard him beaten in that way, figuratively, literally, you know what I mean, like emotionally beaten, literally beaten. He was, I think that scene was really impactful, and I hadn't obviously thought about the baptism. That's why, I don't know, I guess Star Wars Explained is more popular than our podcast because I didn't think of that. But I think that's brilliant insight into the scene, because he, even before he went underwater, I remember feeling this tension while watching it and thinking, wow, Crosshair has met his match he knows it. You know, it's one thing to watch it on screen and then another thing to like sort of internalize it with the character. And that's sort of, I think, what I was doing, in that I was thinking, oh my God, he knows he's going to lose this fight. And that's why I think for a brief moment when he went underwater, I think, you know, Nick and I hoping for everyone on the show to die, I was like, this is it. He really is beaten. He's going to die right here. The lead up to the dunking underwater, the baptism, as you put it, it was brilliant, I thought.
Well, I just believed that it was happening because none of us saw Tech dying last year. That came out of nowhere. So I was right. Oh, wait, did did he just die? Like, is that the
big season, mid-season finale? I know, and I want them to do finale? That.
Yeah, right.
I want that thing of like the clones are disposable. We love these guys, but that's part of the plight of being a clone is you are disposable. So I want to see them just starting to like lose these characters that we love because that's what's going to make everything that follows this mean more. Everything they're fighting for. Because I don't think they're not going to accomplish like a huge goal here. They're going to, the good guys are going to win, air quotes, in some way. But if they all die along the way, and they should, should die, all of them, because that's what being a clone is. And that's, I think, the core of this story. It's like, it's why we have this show, is to tell the story of these guys who were born into servitude. They were born to die at the hands of you know, their masters, whether it was the Jedi or now the Empire. And I think that concept of it doesn't matter who, I mean, we are not a political podcast, but look where we are. I'm not even going to get into it. It doesn't matter. It's like, it doesn't matter who's in charge. These types of jobs, soldiers, they're at the whims of these men who are, you know, crave power so desperately.
Men in boardrooms.
And that's, I think, man, I think that's why, to your point, like Nick, I was like, die. Yes. Die, Crosshair. You know, because I think that makes the story more meaningful, because they're clones. They're supposed to die. Am I right? I mean, you know what I mean?
You know what, though? You won't be disappointed. I feel like they're teeing it up for an even better thing.
I know. And even if they ride off into the sunset, I'm going to be happy because I've loved every minute of this show.
Sure.
But if they go out in a blaze of blaster fire, I'm going to be so pumped because that's
also awesome.
That's what they're supposed to do.
Sure.
They're going to, you know, go out protecting Omega in the final scene, you know, her and Wrecker leave in the ship or whatever, you know, but like, I was hoping that was it for Crosshair, selfishly, because I just think it's poetic. It's how it should be.
The part that made me believe that they might have done it was the fact that we got this beautiful little moment where he tells Omega, he gives her dad advice. Mm-hmm. The woods are really easy to get lost in and you need to stay close. And she looks over and she's like, you're worse than Hunter. And he's like, I'm way worse. Because he's like, I'm going to out-dad Hunter. Yeah. I'm going to love you harder than Hunter ever loved you. And I was like, oh no. Like as a dad, right? You want to prove to your kid that you're like, yeah, it's going to be hard and I'm going to teach you. And this is going to be part of the lessons of like why you come to appreciate me eventually at some point. And I'm going to know that I gave you good lessons to help you survive. And I was like, oh no, Crosshair is going to die. As soon as
I have chills. Ugh. I have chills. what is Omega's role in the bigger story now? Because like, if they teach her all this and they all die and set her free,
that's what Rex is trying to find out, man.
I love it, man.
Well, don't lose sight too of like, there was a good amount of time spent in season two making you like Tech, just so they could
100%.
Yep,
100%. They're doing that with Crosshair.
I know,
100%, dude.
I know,
definitely doing that with Crosshair.
If any of them are going to die, if we don't get like the sort of dark and maybe a little weird desire to have them all die, literally just murder, death, kill every one of them, Crosshair's going down. You're going down, bro. I'm sorry, bro. You're out.
Right.
Can we also really quick, we've talked about the Shin Deep Water. For those of you that like design and stuff, can I just, the music is more my thing, not necessarily the figuring out how the light refracts off of a mountain because of this new engine that they're using. That's your thing. That water looked unreal.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Well, I guess it looked real, which made it look unreal. Super cool. Animation was
the mist
of the water.
Yeah.
Man, I noticed. You know what I mean? I just noticed it. It was made an impact. Like, wow, this looks incredible.
Yeah.
Maybe it was salt. Shout out to anybody who gets that.
They wanted to hammer home that baptism thing. That's really...
Yeah.
Wish I would have thought of that.
Dude, and ultimately, like, they want to rip our hearts out as hard as they possibly can. So... killing him in that moment wouldn't have been enough. They have to fully redeem him, give him another chance, give us the impression that maybe everything's going to be cool, and then rip our hearts out.
Yeah, that's how I'd want it done.
That's how it's going to be.
Go ahead, murder me hard.
You know, he makes up with Hauser at the end. Hauser ultimately, like,
kids listen to this podcast.
Right.
Hauser saves his life. Redemption. It's great. Speaking of transformations and redemptions, we're seeing the beginning of Wolf's transition away from the Empire. Because again, dramatic irony. We know ultimately he's going to be good. We see him in Rebels, even though he's the last one to hold on to the little bit of like loyalty to the Empire, or at least the fear of it. You know,
right?
But he's at odds with the CX from the beginning. These aren't insurgents; these are clones. This throws back to early dark stuff with clones kind of being turned against each other. What's the Jedi? The worst one,
Pon Krell.
We hate that guy.
What do we say about Pon Krell? It's a kid's podcast.
There's a big F word.
Yep, that's right.
Fudge that guy. Wolf's,
or yeah. Ordering the troopers to only use stun. You know, he towards the end, the batch is at the rendezvous point where they're going to get picked up by Echo, but then Wolf and all his folks land and there's this big standoff. It's just like the meme that everybody makes, you know, in A New Hope, in Mos Eisley, like that, like, you know, one of the troopers is one of the clones and it's like, Kenobi?
Cody?
Right. What?
How are you, bud?
It's just like that. But they have a great moment where, you know, Rex says, I thought you were dead. Reports said you were killed in action, that you went down aboard an attack cruiser. He said, I did. Of course. You know, that's the Siege of Mandalore. Great callback. Rex tries to kind of like clue him in on what the Empire's doing, tries to reason with him and convince him that he needs to join him.
Wolf knew, man. As soon as he saw Rex, he was like, oh no. There's something else going on here, and I don't like it.
He's like, think about it. You're hunting a child. And ultimately, he doesn't go with them, but he lets them go. You know, he orders his troopers to stand down. And then once they're gone, Wolf orders them to gather their fallen, all of the dead clones. The other trooper says, but sir, they're traitors. And Wolf says, perhaps, but they're clones. We owe them that. Again. Crying about clones in a cartoon.
Mm. Isn't the writing incredible? The way they're able to do something like that scene, and you don't have to know anything about the Siege of Mandalore to understand what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, the relationships they've created between these characters, most people probably don't know that Wolf and Rex, you know, most people probably don't know that. But a scene where one soldier says to another soldier, I thought you went down. I did go down. It works, you know, and it continues to propel the story forward without having to know all the backstory. And then for nerds like us, it's just the coolest, you know, Easter eggs and fan service and all those things. I love that.
Layers.
It's like, it's kind of like Wolf's moment to kind of have that. I mean, last time Wolf knew of Rex, right? He knows that the cruiser goes down, it crashes and everybody dies on board. But the two people that survived, quite literally, gather the bodies, even though they're traitors, that we owe them that, right? And that's Ahsoka standing there among all the 332nd with Rex over by the Y-Wing, letting kind of understand exactly what happened. It's like, for Wolf to kind of have that moment and get it, that's what I'm saying. As soon as he saw Rex, it was like, okay, something's up. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Dang, this show.
It's brutal.
I feel like we're going to make the show. Sorry, Nick, I'll go quick. Make the show take 3 hours tonight, but there's something about the inhibitor chips and what we're talking about right now. They're like, they caused, you know, they made them, force them to do these things, but did they completely alter their mind and their personality to not be able to recognize situations and relationships and whatever, you know, it wasn't a memory wipe, you know, down the road. So you have an encounter like this, and even though they are fighting for the Empire because they feel like, you know, the program to fight for the Empire, when you run into your bro, you know, if we're in the apocalypse and I see you guys and I've done terrible things to survive, I'm going to cry and I'm going to hold you and I'm going to say, you're my boy. I was going to eat you.
Don't go in the back red room.
I remember you, you know? We had a podcast once 20 years ago.
Do not look in my freezer.
Right.
So I think that's really interesting that you know, the clones, the humanity of the clones being brought to life in that way of like, yes, we've done these terrible things, but I recognize you and you are my brother. Sorry, go ahead, Nick.
There was just one awkward moment where that went completely unrecognized in the show. But when Rex was talking to Wolf, and Rex said something like, "Open your eyes," and then it just showed Wolf, and he's got like one eye. I'm like, "That's not." Like, come on, man!
Oh my god!
Open your
too
eye.
Soon. Too soon.
Like, ooh, sorry, man. I know that was a low blow. Yeah, yeah. Open your eye. A little yeah, wider.
The Caribbean theme,
like,
plays.
No one's gonna say anything. Okay.
Oh god,
he
that's
can't,
like.
Sir.
It just reminds me of Rogue One when he puts the bag on Chirrut's head.
Are you kidding? I'm blind.
Are you kidding yeah me? I'm blind. Yeah. That's great.
Man, that's a good one.
And then the final conversation, Rex and Hunter on the ship. Rex says to Hunter, "I can't just walk away and neither can you." Talking about, you know, Hunter's basically saying that you can't take on the Empire. It's too big, right? And Rex goes on to say, "I think she's vital to whatever they're doing on Tantus Omega, of course. And if you want to keep her safe, you need to find out why she's so important to them." So that tees up the next episode and the second half of the series, or the season, rather.
Does she have the Force or not?
Please, something like that.
Well,
it's a version. It's something, but we'll find out.
It's either the boring version that's like her blood, it just works out, or it's the exciting version. And again, like I said, like, you know, final episode, she's going to just like hold a boulder up from crushing Wrecker to death or something, you know.
That's what we want.
I think it's probably the first one, but sure, we'll see.
Yeah, her body's just a container. That's it.
Correct.
Right.
Is a clone. That's the plight of a clone. You're right. They're made to serve a purpose, you know.
Right.
The actual final scene or final moment, we see that the CX clone assassin lives, the second one. He survived the fall down the...
Why is that? Why do you think he lived?
It's a good question. Why this specific one?
Oh, boy.
And it's also, there's some details, like he's trying to use his comms. They're malfunctioning. He's by himself.
His shoulder is right racked.
Who is he? That's the question.
Oh,
more
boy
in the Den of Antiquities. Right. We won't try to answer it right now.
For over 1,000 generations.
It is the Darksaber, Torgon.
Togosh.
It's a Kalikori.
A Sith Wayfinder.
Dark science. Cloning. Secrets only the Sith knew.
I like not having a segment, by the way. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. The Den of Antiquities is rather deep today, as you could imagine, in this.
We're throwing a party in here. What kind of party? In the den?
In this particular two episodes, okay?
It's an armor party.
So for a first, let's start it off cute. Omega is chewing on a toothpick just like Crosshair. So this is either a little throwback to the fact that she...
And me, I do that. I do that too.
Like Crosshair and Nick Amberian at Bayside, it's truly an incredible, it's a cute little thing, but also it's kind of one of those things where it's like, as she kind of picks up on more of the clones, and we've also said that, you know, we've speculated that she has a little bit of their abilities. If you remember all the way in season one, she's like, "I don't know how to shoot like that, but you did pretty good, kid." She's chewing on a toothpick just like Crosshair. So new dad, she's picking up, it's rubbing off, you know what I mean? So Echo gives Omega this new crossbow, which is pretty cool. And it's not like the Zygarian one that has the big, you know, the big shoulder forearm piece. It's small. I don't, Adam, you're looking for what kind of plan is it from? What does it look like to you? But it's got this, it's convenient. It almost has the chewy, like crossbow, crossbolt style to it with the resonators on the side. It's cool.
Yeah. And the gold detail.
Yeah,
but it's also the laser thing, so it has that Zygarian feel.
Right.
But, you know, there's the quote from, is it Echo that gives it to her, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Says, I've made a few interesting contacts across the galaxy.
Which, I like that. So, Echo's yeah like, "I'm packing. Here, it's yours. Go ahead and shoot someone's eye out, kid." CX Assassin ship. This is a new ship. I've never seen this before. I like this style. Kind of looks like a Dorito. I'm into it. But it actually, when I first saw it, I'm like, that feels like an old Jedi cruiser, like in its style and its kind of triangular, short, stubby style, like a Jedi starfighter. I thought that was a pretty cool little throwback with the pseudo Star Destroyer lines on the back of it that glow red. Very
a little bit like Maul's ship.
Yep. Yep,
in a way, yep, as well.
The scimitar, or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
And then the escape vehicle that this thing was like so slow that you could shoot it down with a blaster bolt from a rifle. Like,
yeah,
that's just an unfortunate vessel you're trying to escape with. I think that is that the Leechcraft from season two of the original ship that Rex flies in on?
That's what I gathered
yeah
from a very little research.
Yep. That makes sense. So some decorative details in the buildings that Rex's base kind of looks like those seen in Galaxy's Edge. It almost has that Jabba's Palace kind of a style to it. We've seen that a lot in Star Wars, that kind of like round. It could very well seem like it was picked right out of Batuu, which I like. And of course, what would be Star Wars without a Wilhelm scream? Did you hear it? Did everyone hear it?
I heard it, baby.
Yeah, it was great.
I heard it.
Yep. So when the bat shoots out the Imperial shuttle, a trooper falls out with the classic Wilhelm scream that we've... Yep.
I thought they were retiring that. And there's a new one, right? Wasn't that a thing?
Yeah, but this is old classic Weequay flying off the skiff.
Well, Luke and Leia trying to wire across the... Yep. Sounded like that.
Yeah. It's not one sample though. Like if you could probably search on YouTube and find like a compilation. It's all the same style, but there are a few, but it goes back like 80 years or something.
There's a few Wilhelms. Yeah. Is what we're
the doing. Wilhelm family.
Right.
There's Wilhelm.
The Wilhelms are very busy.
Wilhelm.
In Foley in Hollywood. So let's talk a little bit about the colors on the clone troopers' armors, because I think some people, we kind of went through those a little bit at the top of the hour. But in Attack of the Clones, the colors represented clone officer ranks. So there were traditionally green for sergeants, blue for lieutenants, red for captains, and yellows for commanders. Certain characters like Wolf and Cody had actual markers, designations on their armor. Not all of them had that. In Revenge of the Sith, clones all wore the ranks that had painted trims. So canon and legends indicate that the meaning behind the clone colors had changed by this point. But rather than rank, they now refer to what division a clone belongs to, which is your 501st Legion, which is blue, orange for the 212th, which is Cody. And then you have like the 187th, like Mace Windu. So that's how they would designate those clones. You had the Coruscant guards with the red. They had a very specific job.
Mace Windu's regiment is the 187th.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's okay. Right.
I know that until this moment, and man, am I pleased.
They should have been blood red, because everyone knows that for a little designer joke out there, that Pantone 187 is blood red, and these streets will certainly be painted CMYK. So green accents are the 501st Elite Corps. That's Greer's color, which is not to be confused with Gree, who also has the shiny. He's the one that you were talking about, Nick, that kind of has that. He's almost got like the traditional European style camouflage.
And it's green armor, right? Am I thinking correctly?
Yeah.
It's white with green accents. It's green armor.
Yeah, it's silver. Yeah, it's silver. And then his visor is actually like a tinted green. It's kind of interesting. It's pretty cool. And then we have like the greenish teal. That is what Hauser has. It's not green. It's not blue. It's a proper teal. And then we've got Nemec has a greenish teal shoulder pauldrons, antenna on the left back, which is kind of what Wolf has. So we've got a couple different troopers in here, which I think is really cool. But obviously what it's getting at is the fact that they're plucking clones from whoever survived, and they were all able to meet up. So it's cool to kind of see them in this Skittle formation. What's interesting about this is the purple. Let's talk about the 187th real quick. Mace Windu's clone unit was originally called the 187th Legion, which featured the purple markings for his lightsaber. And according to the story group, the Clone Wars producers decided against using this color scheme when designing Clone Commander Pons in Season 1, Episode 21 for Liberty on Ryloth, and instead used maroon markings, which carried over to the design of Windu's clone troopers in the Bad Batch arc. So if we all remember our best friend, our Wraith, Robbie, telling us a little bit about why his medallion was purple, which he found in a little story. He told us the story about how he made that up, because it blew our minds that he actually read it in a children's book about Mace Windu being on Ryloth once. And so he was like, purple lightsaber, purple necklace, Mace Windu's our guy. Love and it. We hook, line, and sinker. I was like, that was the coolest thing I've ever experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, now we're going to get into it. Theories inbound of who is the CX Shadow. Okay, now the internet is already screaming. People are very upset about this, but there is an indicator that Crosshair's last conversation that he has before I think he really starts to try to double down when he talks to another clone about what happens. That clone happens to be none other. He tells him, I don't recognize you because your sweet armor is gone and they stole all your personality and they put you in this weird gray commander kit. That would be Commander Cody. If you remember, in the solitary clone, Commander Cody and Crosshair actually team up and they go after some commander battle droids, and they make good work of them and they go through it. And the one thing that Cody does when he realizes he's kind of outnumbered is he pulls out this vibro knife, and it's pretty dang cool. And it's a black blade and it's got these yellow markings. And that is from a solitary clone in season 2. It's got a short stubby handle and it glows yellow and it's fully illuminated. The one thing that this new guy does after he's a pretty good shot is pull out a knife and goes after him. Now, the official story, when we find out where Cody went, when Rampart tries to tell Crosshair why Cody wasn't assigned to him, is that he went AWOL. So Rampart either had no idea that there was a clone reconditioning program that was a lot more like A Clockwork Orange, but there certainly is something suspicious about the fact that when we know that Rex hears about Cody, that he freaks out a little bit when we see him in Rebels, something happened to Cody. To take a character like Commander Cody and say that he went AWOL is either them not telling Rampart because they knew what was going to happen to Rampart. They had to get rid of him. He's a contingency plan. But to go AWOL for Commander Cody, I'm not buying it, right? Rex needs...
You're being very unfelony.
That's right. Rex needs someone to be opposite of him. I feel like Cody was that guy. So anyways, that's interesting. Now, the other theory, of course, is that Crosshair was actually, they took parts of him to try to clone more of Crosshair's special abilities, because this, in many ways, they both fight the same, and he's a damn good shot. Actually, kind of how Crosshair used to be. So either they are full on into clone mode of the Bad Batch themselves. Crosshair was a pretty loyal clone and obviously had high skills. But I don't know. That's a working theory, and I think that would actually be pretty deep, especially if... Now, the clones could also be no one. They could just be exactly this role, and that could be fine. But I think for a lot of people, if Cody was one of the guys, oof, that would be vicious. That would be very vicious.
It seems unlikely that it's not an important character for him to pop out of the water at the end. I mean, that is what it is.
That's the thing, for sure. But it being Cody, if the evidence is this knife, here are two things to consider.
Sure. The knife is different.
The knife is different.
It is different.
But it's still a vibroblade. It's right. Whatever. Here's the thing. This clone, this CX clone, does not bring this knife with him. He pulls it off of this clone that he killed right here.
Oh, good point. Okay. I like this. But he knows how to use it pretty dang well.
Doesn't mean that it's not Cody.
Ooh.
Yeah. The thing to consider is...
It just explains why it's a different blade.
Is it glowing orange or yellow?
Nice. Mm. Nice. Everything's like it for a reason.
If you go to Wikipedia, though, and you look at Vibroknife,
okay,
the list of appearances is like this long.
Okay, so a lot of people...
for people listening, it's a whole ass page.
Sure.
So it's kind of a standard weapon for clones, it seems like.
Right.
I don't remember seeing it that much.
Right.
But I don't know.
It's interesting. But there's something about the fact that the CX didn't totally vibe with Wolf. He was pretty much going rogue. But there's something about the fact that Crosshair and Cody had the last time we saw Cody was talking to Crosshair.
I want it to be Cody, dude. Don't get me wrong. I want it to be him.
So
after bringing Wolf back and all, like,
yeah,
Cody's
dude,
out
he
there.
Climbed out of the water. It's someone important. Yeah. The assassin doesn't survive if there's not someone we know there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just let the episode be over and they got away.
It's actually the Winter Soldier from Marvel, and this is where the crossover right. starts, which is crazy. So
finally,
I love canon.
Yeah.
I love canon.
That's it. So that's the den. It's pretty deep today. I like it.
Thank you, Mike. All right. Let's talk about bingo card results. We actually got some hits, I feel like, maybe. So
absolutely.
let's start with Mike's prediction about Mace Windu's 187th clones. Let's just give you this point, despite the fact that if you actually go look at, like, I think the best reference is the Black Series, Nick, which you probably have.
Yep.
The actual layout of the color is different.
Sure.
But we see two or three clones in this episode that have purple with different arrangements. So yep. I don't know. I think it's a hit.
I feel like we should be liberal with a lot of these.
Yeah. Sure.
This is not a political podcast, Nick.
Wow. Come on, Nick. Get it together.
Careful. Too much politics.
Just lost a listener.
We can't be too conservative with our bingos.
Mike also got a hit for Ryochuchi appearing.
Yep.
Nick gets one for Hauser's appearance.
Knew that.
Then Mike, you and I both had just Wolf and Gregor.
Yeah.
No further elaboration, no specificity about appearance on screen.
Blanket statement.
Or mention, just Wolf and Gregor.
Yep.
Gregor is mentioned twice in the episode.
Right.
Once Hunter says to Echo, "I thought your rendezvous with Gregor was top priority. I'll pick him up after dropping you lot off." So we're going to see him, we assume. But I think this gets us the point today. I don't know.
I agree. I fully agree with that.
Do it.
Patreon had Wolf appearing as one of their squares.
Yep.
Mike, Nick, and I also all had Clone Trooper Rebellion. Is it too early to make that call?
That's it. They're active. Come on.
I think it's early.
That's not how. This definitely is not my my definition of what I put on the bingo card.
Yeah.
But the point is that if they are rebelling from what the Empire wants them to do, they are rebelling.
A group of clone troopers are rebelling.
Can I just shout out to everyone on Instagram that follows our podcast that I didn't get any hits, but I did win the poll. I won the preseason poll.
That's true.
So if I get no hits, I won something.
That's true.
That's all. I just thank you guys for your thanks for giving me that win, you know?
Hey, we all had No Adventure of the Week podcast. You're still on track to get that one.
Yep.
You also have Hunter Survives. He's still alive. Yeah. He survived another episode.
He's
on track there.
Yeah.
And then this episode, six, not seven, kind of ended with no music, which is on your card.
But my card was credits, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't remember how you specified.
Like when Wrecker died, when something really gnarly happens, it's going just credits roll, no sound.
Silence.
Yes, okay. That was my.
I like that.
So we have a few.
We've got to give for patrons, Physics Buddy Joe, I always like, because I always go on to check it in the morning after I watch. And usually Joe has already assigned who won and got all that stuff. So shout out to Physics Buddy Joe. He's got a good eye. He's been helping us tab along on this thing.
Dedication.
I think the thing that I look at with bingo is I don't play strategically. Like, there's ones that I felt more confident when, like, when we were picking all of these. And I was like, I should have put those in a straight line down with the, in this through the center, right? That's what everyone does. And I just put them everywhere. I'm like,
mine's a crime scene.
Like, it's just a mess. It's just a mess. So next time,
there will be another.
Let's do it again for Acolyte. Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. Ready to get zero on that?
Right.
There will be a Jedi score.
There will be a lightsaber.
All right. Let's do I Love You, I Know. And before we get into it, patrons in the chat, give us your favorite quotes, your favorite moments, whatever you like.
I got some ready to go.
Sick.
I love you.
I know.
Favorite moments, favorite quotes, favorite scenes. Ryan Key, how about you go first?
Mine is... very unique and specific. I felt like throughout these two episodes, there wasn't a bomb drop moment, really. Like, it was cool to see all the old pals together again. But as much as I enjoyed the episodes, as I mentioned, for just the straight up sort of war, you know, Clone Wars feeling of it, the battle, I didn't feel like there was one scene or like quote that really, I loved, you know, their clones. What was he say? They're clones. We owe them that much or something, you know?
Right.
I loved that. But there was a moment where I was like, oh, dude, I know exactly what that feels like. So I'm a very avid Call of Duty Warzone player. And there is no greater feeling in gaming. Sure. I'm going to just go there because I wanted to go a little more intense than that.
That's a big statement.
Yeah, I don't want to upset my family and the people I love, you know. There's no greater feeling in gaming than sniping a fool straight out of a helicopter. Dude's flying by, one shot down, falls to his death. Helicopter explodes. It's the greatest thing. When Crosshair sniped that dude through the windshield, all of my greatest Call of Duty memories of sniping helicopter pilots flash before my eyes. Love Crosshair.
Crosshair's back.
You're like, oh, this dude games.
That was my favorite moment. Yeah, Crosshair, if you're listening to the pod, let's squad up. Let's squad up. Verdansk is coming back at the end of the year.
I'd love to be in your crew.
You're hired.
Mike, your turn. Favorite moment, quote, whatever.
Honestly, the probably one of the most G moves in this whole two episode arc was when the assassin throws a thermal dent out and Rex doesn't run from it. He literally runs to it and chucks it back.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, Rex is good at what he does. Like, in every
also a really good feeling in Call of Duty when you time that RB throwback, but right.
100%.
It's a good feeling.
Right. And then the guy's like, this guy must be cheating because there's no way anybody's that good.
Yeah, so, he's hacking. Yeah. He's hacking his balls off, as we say.
Right. There's no way this guy is Captain Rex. There's no way. So I thought that was a great little moment. But I think all in all, this arc, every time the clones start to realize that the Empire is lying to them, it is like Christmas morning, because there is a really awesome and powerful moment. I think as more clones are being added to this pseudo rebellion as it's happening, that I loved that there was the same moment of when Din Djarin sees the helmet get taken off of the Marshal and realizes he is not Mandalorian, he is not Boba Fett, and like Brendan or whoever was in the suit at the time, like, has this like shocked, subtle little reaction.
Yeah. It's like the Tom DeLonge gif from the video. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. From First Date. Yeah. Right. But when Wolf realizes that Rex, who's so well respected among the Republic Army, that he's not dead, and that moment for him just, it settles in that he's like, I don't like what's going on here. Like, that is, that was probably the heaviest moment of it, especially knowing what he said after. I kind of said it already in the podcast, but just like the fact that, you know, he was like, pick up the clones. They're not traitors. They're our brothers, because we're all going to be traitors here real soon. So I thought that was probably, that conversation between the two of them was probably and all the action is awesome, but like, I think that was probably my favorite interaction from this two episode arc for sure.
Sick. Nick, how about you split us with some patron comments, then do yours and I'll do mine.
Love that. Okay, so Sith Lady says the tiny little nod from Wolf to Rex, which we know we all saw. But building off of that comment, Kai East says the whole confrontation between Rex and Wolf, knowing that Wolf held on to his morals, inhibitor chip and all, through the whole episode and was able to be convinced of letting the chipless clones go, capping it off with the exchange, which we mentioned earlier, the commando saying, but sir, they're traitors. And Wolf saying, perhaps, but they're clones. We owe them that. Maddie Gunner says, favorite moment, Rex throwing the grenade back through the bars at the CX, operative, like Mike mentioned. Great screen name again, great handle. I am Godzilla and you are Japan, whoever you are.
Nice.
I love the Shadow Trooper armor. If I ever take the plunge into building my own suit, this is what I would make. I was hoping it'd have a little bit more light on it to look like Tron. Very cool. Definitely was getting Tron vibes on the way it was worn. Let's see, Stacey Leanne, for all the work she does in our patron in our Discord, she says her favorite scene was it was a tie between Mom Echo giving Omega her new energy crossbow, little salutes to each other, and then
have a little violence.
Yeah, right. And Hunter defending Crosshair from Hauser. You're going to have to back down, Captain. Pretty badass moment.
Lit. How about you, Nick?
I'm going to go with a silly one, like I think I did last week. Did I say last week was like a little Batcher thing, right?
This week
was also another Batcher thing where he was just part of the clone crew when they went to attack and like everyone's shooting around him and he just jumps on like a TK soldier or something. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, dude, you're doing your part. Yeah. I love it. I love the dog moments.
Dude, and then when they meet with...
I love Degs.
with Wolf's crew when they're at the extraction point or whatever, and they're all illuminated by the door opening from the shuttle,
right?
And they're all in like their like boy band pose. It's like the full crew and Batcher's in his stance. You know, it's sick. It's so good. My favorite, Mike already said it. It's a funny one, but I think it's Crosshair's first like real joke. In a way,
sure.
When he's asking Omega if she's good, does she have all of her stuff? You know, it's dangerous out there in the woods or whatever. And she says, "You're as bad as Hunter." And Crosshair says, "Oh, I'm much worse." I feel like it was a genuine joke, and I laughed.
Right,
I laughed at the cartoon. I loved, of course, Mike. Like you were saying, anytime a clone or a group of clones have their eyes opened, that's an amazing moment. So that's probably second for me. But
sure,
I just loved that line. I thought it was amazing. Reborn. Now he's a funny guy. Sense of humor. Might even get rid of the toothpick. Who knows?
Oh, nice.
Now he's into Chew.
Oh, yeah.
Or Skull Bandits. I don't know.
We'll find out. I prefer Big Chief.
All right. We are wrapping it up. Like and subscribe. Do it. Press all the necessary buttons. Do all the things that people tell you to do that they bother you about. Do that for us, please. Follow us on socials. And if you like the show, repost. You don't have to be a patron. If you want to be a patron, that's awesome. But if you just want to share... whether it's, you know, something that we post or, you know, a clip from the show or just a screenshot of you listening, you want to put that in your stories or wherever you share things on social media, please do that. It helps. And leave a review. Rate and review. Do that. Do all that stuff. It's helpful. Thank you very much. We do have news coming up very soon, this month. A pretty big thing that I'm going to stop there. I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to spoil anything.
Nice.
Fun stuff.
Didn't say anything. Made people freak out. Nice job. Yeah, that's
wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
We're quitting. We're switching to Star Trek.
That's right.
You know what? Never mind.
You guys, well, hey, check this out. You ready? Forget it. Forget it. All right. I love you guys, and I can't wait to talk about what we're going to talk about when we hit end on this thing.
Yes.
And until next week, may the Force be with you. If you enjoy Thank the Maker, you can support us by following and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Or you can support us directly at patreon.com/thankthemakerpod, where you can get access to our Discord server, exclusive content, exclusive merch, our recording live stream, and more. Our patrons quite literally make Thank the Maker possible.